Hello and welcome to the Mark Hasek Show on Roadkill Radio. In September 1998, Swiss Air Flight 111, bound for Switzerland, crashed into the Atlantic off the south shore of Nova Scotia, killing all 229 people on board. Investigators blamed an accidental fire, but 2 months ago, the CBC's Fifth Estate aired a documentary which essentially claimed that terrorists brought down the plane. Journalist and author of three books on the RCMP, Paul Palango, broke this story. Paul, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Mark.
First of all, take us back to the beginning, Paul. How did you get involved with Swiss Air?
Well, in November 2008, about 3 years ago, I published my most recent book on the RCMP called Dispersing the Fog Inside the Secret World of Ottawa on the RCMP. And in 2009, after that book had come out, I was contacted by a former sergeant in the RCMP who asked me to take a look at the story into Swiss Air and what had happened with Swiss Air. And it was something that I approached with much skepticism because I didn't believe, I'd heard all the stories about this being an accident and being caused by faulty wiring on the entertainment system. And as I said, I was extremely skeptical about pursuing any story or investing any time in it.
First of all, who conducted the investigation, the original investigation? It was the RCMP in concert with the Transportation Safety Board, is that right?
Well, yeah, the Canadian Transportation Safety Board were actually charged with conducting the first investigation with the assistance of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And this is a very important definition here, that
right.
The assistance of assisting the TSB, the RCMP at no time was conducting a criminal investigation or a normal police investigation to what happened. They were acting as the eyes and ears for the TSB and reporting to the TSB and under the direction of the TSB. And this becomes crucial in understanding what happens to the investigation.
What was the official conclusion? Can you enlighten our viewers? You're the expert here. What was the official conclusion of the government?
The conclusion was one that came out 3 days after the crash, that faulty wiring on the plane probably related to captain coating on the wiring, which was considered to be flammable, caused the fire in the attic of the plane above the cockpit. And in about 21 minutes from the time smoke was first smelled, the plane crashed out of control into the Atlantic Ocean off St. Margaret's Bay near Peggy's Cove, Nova Scotia.
Now, retired RCMP Sergeant Tom Juby spent 4 years as the lead forensic investigator in this disaster. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
Now, he claims investigators decided, as you just did, within days of the crash, before recovering the black box, that the crash was an accident. Is that right?
Well, it's not only right. It's not the investigators decided. They were, another investigator who was conducting a background investigation for the RCMP was told on the third day that to wind down his investigation was going to be declared an accident. Juby was told on the eighth day.
I'm going to stop you there for a second because that's an extraordinary claim to make, and I think that will catch a lot of people off guard, even folks who saw the Fifth Estate documentary. That's amazing to me that they would jump to those conclusions. Is that typical of an investigation? I mean, you dealt with the RCMP for years, writing about them.
Well, it is amazing in the sense that there was no investigation, and I think people look at this and say, well, this is impossible. Look at all this manpower and all the money they spent and all the things they were doing.
Well, right.
That's the way I approached it too. I looked at it from the point of view of this can't possibly be true. But one of the beauty of what Juby was able to tell me was not what he just recollected, his memoirs, his memories of things, but he had notes that essentially began, police notes that essentially begin with September 3rd, 1998. I arrived at work at Hangar B at Shearwater Airport, and this is what I did. And for the next 4 years, we have his contemporaneous notes as well as supporting documents from others and government and other researchers and investigators who were working on the case about what they saw at any particular time in that investigation. And what becomes quite clear is that there was no investigation.
Paul Palengo is our guest. He is a journalist and author and has been on the Swiss Air case for a couple of years at least. Now, Paul, when investigators reassembled the plane, again, correct me if I'm wrong here, they encounter significant fire damage. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, they found fire damage that went well beyond what they expected.
From a short circuit.
Pardon?
Well beyond what a short circuit could have ever caused. Is that correct?
That'd be fair to say it was well beyond, because what they noticed was the amount of damage that, you know, Juby was a fire investigator, a veteran fire investigator who had done about 1,000 fires in his life, and including 2 plane crashes. And the degree of burning and melting on the plane indicated that the fire had approached almost 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which was well above what a standard fire would do, you know, a house fire or a car fire or whatever. And this was confounding to the investigators, because there was no fuel that they could see that would have caused that kind of a fire. There was not enough fuel in the attic of the plane to sustain that kind of and build that kind of a fire.
So how did they explain it then? How did they explain that that evidence?
As they began to look at it, they started to find elements in the scientific investigation. They found elements of a possible incendiary device, and what they found were traces of magnesium, iron oxide, brass, zinc, and in levels that could not be explained. And when they looked at the sources, the possible sources of magnesium on the plane, for example, the brake pedal and in the door frames and 2 other places, they recovered all those pieces of magnesium intact. So the magnesium that they found had come from another source, and they couldn't understand where that came from, as well as the iron oxide and the brass and the zinc and other materials.
And that evidence is included in the official report, correct?
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
Why not?
Well, that's the question, that all of this was edited out. And that, the force at the TSB and the RCMP took steps to have any references to this material edited out of the official police notes, and which is against the law. And pressure was brought to bear on scientists, government scientists in Ottawa who were working independently on the case, to change their findings to not report what they had found.
Okay, so we have wreckage in a plane, reassembled, evidence that appears to be from some sort of an incendiary device, the magnesium, possibly a bomb, correct? We see that, and
well, nobody knows what it is. What they do know is that you have elements there that are likely associated with a bomb or an incendiary device.
Why would
the possibilities, Mark, are it could have been a deliberate incendiary device like a thermite bomb, or it could have been a C4 bomb that failed. It could have been something else. They just don't know, because nobody wanted to get into it any farther about what may have brought that plane down.
Okay, now I'm asking you to speculate. Why would investigators want to suppress this information that could possibly point to a terrorist attack? Let's call it what it is.
Well, we don't know if it's a terrorist attack. There's a number of scenarios. a number of scenarios about possible suspects. But I mean, what had happened, if you look at it, Mark, what happened in the first 3 or 4 days of the investigation, the TSB rushed to declare it an accident, implemented or made recommendations to airlines about changes, safety measures that had to be, changes that had to be made to the safety regime to make flying safer. Airlines in the first year actually made some of those changes at tremendous expense. And then about a year down the road, they start to find out that maybe it wasn't an accident. I think that at face value, you might say the TSB decided that they and the government of Canada would be liable for all kinds of damages from airlines when they change their course after a year and report that it wasn't obviously the accident that they said it was.
Now,
that's the simplest explanation.
Now, Swiss Air Swiss Air Flight 111 was one of four planes in 4 years to leave JFK Airport in New York and later crash into the water. That's right, correct?
That's right.
All four incidents were declared accidents.
Yes, now, usually very quickly, too. Same sort of scenario, like within about 2 or 3 days, or if not sooner.
Well, I don't believe that people are getting all the information here. So, to wrap up here, Paul, what's the state of the case now? Is there any indication that the Harper government or the RCMP or anybody's going to reopen this case?
No, I mean, no one is interested in pursuing the case. It's just gone completely dead. I mean, no media is interested in it. No one's particularly interested in finding out what happened on that day. Back in 1998.
What about the families? Have you been in contact with any of the families of the victims? Have they expressed interest in this?
I have talked to some of the families of the victims over the past 2 years. Many of them were surprised about this theory. Many of them really didn't want to know any more about it. They were generally of the opinion that this is all behind them. This was just digging up things, and digging up things that they didn't want to discuss anymore or talk about, and they were just satisfied with what they had. At the same time, Mark, I talked to lawyers who were involved in the investigation, and they too were reluctant to get it. They said, "Well, we got our money, and we don't care." I was actually quite horrified. I said, "Like, well, who's actually looking out for the truth here?"
Unbelievable.
And there's one Chicago lawyer put it to me, Mr. Rappaport. He said, no one's really, as long as someone's going to pay and they can find someone who's going to pay, they're not really interested in pursuing the truth about what happened.
Money talks in all occasions. And I've been to that, I'm sure you have too, Paul. I've been to that memorial near Peggy's Cove. And when you look out over the sea and you see where the plane went in, and remember that 220 people died there, that should be more than enough for anybody to want to get to the truth. And we appreciate you digging up this stuff, Paul. We really appreciate it. Paul,
thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. Take care. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
You too, Mark. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Palanga was our guest. He was joining us from Nova Scotia about the Swiss Air 111 disaster. I encourage everybody to go online, check out more of Paul's stuff. This is a really important story that is getting no media attention. And it deserves it for sure. I'm Mark Hashik. You're watching Roadkill Radio. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.